This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. And today we're going to have kind of a little bit of a different show. We're going to be talking about food myths and food fears and how we can become more discerning consumers of information and consumers of food. And I thought it'd be really great to have somebody join us who I heard speak recently, but I have been aware of for some time on social media, specifically on Twitter, and his name is Tim Caulfield, and he's a professor of health, law, and science policy out of Edmonton, Canada. And so he's joining me by phone. So hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So what university, where do you work in Canada?
I'm at the University of Alberta.
Okay. Is it cold there right now?
It is really, really cold. It's Canada cold right now. I think it was minus 30 Celsius when I left this morning. And I rode my bike.
Oh, my gosh.
That's hardcore, right?
Yeah. Now, when you do that, like, do you have to, like, tie a scarf around? Do you have a special mask? What do you do so you don't freeze your lungs? Is that
all
possible?
All the above.
Oh, man. That is hardcore. So I don't even want to tell you how warm it is down here in Western North Carolina, even though we're up in the mountains. I don't know if this is really mountains compared to where you are or what you might be accustomed to in Canada, but we're at about 2,200 feet and it is probably about 55 degrees here today. And that's not Celsius. I mean, so it's pretty balmy actually for wintertime for us.
Lucky you guys. I mean, you can ride your bike all year, right? No problem.
Exactly. And so, Tim, I promise you I'm not going to bring anything up about, well, I probably will bring something up about Tom Brady, but I know we were tweeting each other back and forth during the Super Bowl, and I was a little sarcastic, and I basically had to eat my words about Tom Brady, didn't I?
You sure did. And Tom Brady's very relevant to this call, this conversation for sure, because he does spread a lot of food myths. But you did. That was a hilarious. I got so many because I'm a huge, born outside Boston, and I'm a huge Patriots fan. I know for most of the country, that's not a good thing to say. But, holy cow, I got all these tweets and text messages and emails, people mocking me. Just wait. Tom Brady is the quarterback.
I know, because where this all comes from is when I met Tim a few weeks ago and you were intent on talking to me about football. And I was like, look, not my scene, football, whatever. And it's so true that I'm not. But I remember that Tim is very, very passionate about the Patriots and specifically about Tom Brady and has been known to say that he would give a kidney to Tom Brady if he needed it, which is pretty intense if you're willing to give up a kidney to a professional athlete. So I couldn't resist the opportunity during the Super Bowl. You will note that my tweets sort of died out after the second half mocking Tom Brady.
Yeah, there was silence after halfway through the third quarter. It was really funny. Right?
I was like, ha ha, he's not doing too great all because of this crazy diet. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit, since this is fairly relevant and pretty timely. What is it about Tom Brady's diet that kind of drives you, and even though you're not a dietitian, many dietitians kind of crazy?
Well, he is a fantastic example of so many things in this space. He does have this incredibly strict diet, as you know, and it's kind of a version of this alkaline diet that's become so popular, that's built on this myth, and it is a myth, as you know better than I do, that you can control the pH of your blood, as if, you know, we need to regulate our blood pH by how we eat. There's no evidence to support it. In fact, there was a really nice systematic review that came out from Canada, actually, a few weeks ago, really highlighting how there's no evidence to support this. But Tom is a great example because he is this incredible anecdote, right? And the pop pop culture talks about his diet all of the time. There are all of these articles, and I follow it very closely, talking about the way he eats. And the tagline is always something like, well, it must work, or, you know, he's so successful, how can you argue
sure.
with success? You know, and so it's a wonderful example of the power of an anecdote to outweigh all of the evidence, right, to outweigh the science. And that happens all of the time with diets, with exercise, with health generally. And that's one of the reasons celebrity culture is, I think, such an interesting and problematic aspect of the health debate.
Well, I think you've brought up a good point, Tim, is because when you have somebody who is so well known, they're a celebrity, whether it's an athlete like Tom Brady or, you know, in the music world like Beyonce or Lady Gaga, people just idolize them and worship them. And especially when you've got, you know, got this guy who's just a tremendous athlete and he's got a beautiful wife, beautiful family, he does incredibly well. So people think, oh my gosh, well, this diet is obviously working for him, so I should try it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it is, you know, as I said, this really powerful anecdote. And I think it goes further than that even, because, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, I'm not influenced by celebrities. That's my idiotic neighbor, right? This is called the third party effect, right? It's always the other guy
right.
that's influenced. But if you look at the data, we're all influenced in a very subtle way.
Sure.
So we may not think that Tom Brady or Gwyneth Paltrow or Katy Perry or whoever is a good source or a credible source of information, but they take up so much cultural space. You know, their footprint is just massive
sure.
that we can't help but be influenced by it. The mere fact that Tom helps to keep the myth alive about the alkaline diet has an impact.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that about the alkaline diet, because I get questions about that all the time because of alkaline water and, you know, not only the diet. But as Tim was saying, is that you're not going to change the pH of your blood. And if there was really a problem with the pH of your blood, you'd be in intensive care in the hospital. It's really that simple, folks, because that's what happens. Your organs, your kidneys, your respiratory system, that all helps regulate the pH of your blood. It's not going to be affected by you drinking a $4 bottle of alkaline water. I want to make sure we mention the fact that Tim is also the author of a book that we're going to be talking about more. Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? So stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian. I'm talking with Professor Timothy, or Tim, Caulfield. He is joining me by phone from our from Canada, from Edmonton area, Alberta. He's a professor, let's see, I'm reading off your things here, Canada Research Chair in Health, Law, and Policy, Trudeau Fellow, Professor, Faculty of Law and School of Public Health, and Research Director, Health Law Institute. So, Tim, you're very passionate about sort of these food myths and fear-mongering and trying to kind of inject some reality in the situation. How did you get involved in this space?
Yeah, it is a weird journey, to be honest with you, Leah. You know, here I am, this law professor. I'm actually standing in a law school right now. How the heck did I end up, you know, writing about Gwyneth Paltrow and
right.
Tom Brady? And what really happened is, for my whole career, I've been looking at science policy and health policy. And so, right out of graduate school, I was very interested in, you know, what does the evidence say about a given science policy, whether you're talking about stem cell policy or obesity policy or, you know, even something like e-cigarettes, what does the evidence say? And I just became this obsessed with the disconnect between the way we handle stuff and what the evidence actually says. And then as that progressed, it became obvious to me that pop culture is playing a huge role in how we all think about health. To be honest with you, Leah, not just the public, but, you know, healthcare providers and policymakers, it influences all of us. So I became very interested in that. And as I have this fantastic interdisciplinary research team And so we actually, you know, try to get a sense of how science is represented in pop culture, in newspaper, and social media, and even on platforms like YouTube, because we think, it's really important, and I think the evidence supports that.
So, Tim, I'm just going to throw this out here, and this is just a shot in the dark, but I'm guessing that you may be the only law professor who's written a book about Gwyneth Paltrow.
I think that's a very small Venn diagram. I might be the only one in there. I think so. Yeah, that was a really fun book to write, as you can imagine. And as you know, I tried to live a little bit of it. I tried out for American Idol, for example. That starts with that story. And I went on Gwyneth's cleanse. I met with her doctor in Hollywood. I just thought it would be a really good way to demonstrate. To also just do some debunking, but also to demonstrate the role of celebrity culture in our lives. And it was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot myself, actually.
So if people are listening and they're saying, what's wrong with Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop page, which I think is really kind of an interesting name, but we won't kind of go down that path. But what is wrong with some of the things that she espouses about food?
So Gwyneth is a fascinating case study because she, let's just talk about food. Because as you know, a lot of, on the surface, right, a lot of the advice seems sensible.
Right.
She's, lots of real food, lots of fruits and vegetables, who can be against that? Lots of variety, and
sure.
And also this idea, let's, enjoy our food and let's take time to make it. I think that's all that stuff, really positive message. But she also wraps it in this blanket of pseudoscience
right.
and tries to make it sound like it's difficult to eat healthy and that there are all these rules that you need to follow. So she's about, whenever possible, be gluten-free, only eat organic, eat these foods because they help you detox, right? All of this kind of nonsense that confuses how to eat a healthy life. And as you know better than I do, it's really pretty straightforward, right? It's lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, healthy
right.
proteins. There's really no magic. But she really tries to make it sound like there is magic there. And I think that's problematic.
Well, and I think a lot of things, something that's also worth mentioning is a lot of these people who set themselves up that way, not just necessarily actors and like Gwyneth Paltrow, but a lot of them are benefiting financially from either affiliated links or links to products or selling some sort of meal plan or diet plan or endorsing different products. So this, there's one thing I think, Tim, to have these sort of misguided notions and to promote them, but I think it's a whole different ballgame when people are profiting from those financially.
I think you're right. I mean, there are, as you can imagine, I have a few on so many different celebrities, and I kind of put them on what I call the celebrity continuum. And you do have some celebrities. I don't know if you know Shailene Woodley.
She's
a young actress, right? And she says crazy things about diet and health that has no evidence associated with it. And these are sort of like incidental comments that she makes. She's obviously passionate about it, but I don't think she's selling anything. But then you have someone like Jessica Alba, right, who has this company called Honest that is really based on fear-mongering and ideas that have no science behind them. And it's largely targeted at parents. And it's this idea that our world is full of toxins and we have to buy these products in order to make sure our kids are safe. That is really kind of reprehensible. And that company, by the way, if you believe reports in the media, is worth over $1 billion. So she's making hundreds of millions of dollars on the back of fear-mongering and science-free advice. And that's really problematic.
He makes me so distressed sometimes, Tim, because I used to remember, do you remember that show that Jessica Alba was in where she was like the superhuman with the barcode on the back of her neck?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
science fiction geek, so for sure.
I know. And I love that show. And like, when I saw her going down that road, I was like, oh, come on, Jessica. And I think that is, part of the problem is we sort of we idolize these celebrities for whatever reason, for their performances or whether it's on the screen or on the playing field. And so we really invest a lot of a lot like emotionally and even psychologically into what they're doing or what they believe. And I think that, you can get, it's kind of like a little bit of a grieving process to go through, like, oh man, they're just an idiot. Why didn't I see that? You know, so I don't, that's the way I feel anyway. So
I think you're right. And, you know, even with someone with like Gwyneth, who I, you know, has done some great movies. I love Seven, for example. I think she's awesome in that. You go through this process where you get angry at them.
Right, exactly. Why? Well, stay tuned. We're talking with Tim Caulfield. He is a professor in Canada, and he really specializes in health law, but he also spends a fair amount of time on social media trying to debunk some food myths and fear mongering. Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian. I'm talking with Professor Tim Caulfield, and he is in Canada, and he is a health law professor. And you can find Tim on Twitter. He's Caulfield Tim on Twitter. So, Tim, I have to ask you, okay, so I'm looking at your Twitter page. You've got this kind of really interesting painting picture in the background behind your photo. What is that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. My brother is an art professor.
Oh, okay.
And he's amazing. Of course, I think that he's my brother, but he truly is amazing. In fact, he was one of the only or the first Canada research chairs in fine arts in Canada.
Oh.
And we've collaborated on a number of projects where we bring in artists and scientists and people like me to create books. And in fact, we have a book coming out hopefully this year, called The Vaccination Picture, where we have art about vaccination myths. So that piece, actually, I believe, is part of that forthcoming book.
Neat. Well, and you can tell your brother you gave him a shout out. So that was pretty nice.
Sure.
So one of the questions that I get from consumers is, well, because they're so overwhelmed by the sheer amount of information that they're being bombarded with, especially if they're on social media. You know, you get, you know, who do you believe? What should you believe? Where should you look for information? You know, what would you normally tell people? What are some good sources if they're trying to find out if something about food, like the whole myth about buying alkaline water or some other food myth, what are some good sites that you like?
So I'm curious if you agree with the advice that I often give out. So let's see if you think I'm on the right track.
Okay.
But I always tell people, because you imagine I get this question a lot, start with the assumption that you can keep it simple and that you can ignore most of the noise out there. Because for most people, you know, for 95% of the population, all of that crazy advice is probably irrelevant beyond the basic facts of eating lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grain, you know, avoiding junk food, the basic facts, right? And so I always start with that. And, you know, I used to give a talk where I started with nothing works was my first slide. And someone said, you know, that's too depressing. I think you should need a more upbeat message.
Where do you go from there, right?
Where do you go from there, yeah. But it's kind of true, right? So I think the other bit of advice I always give to people is, you know, never rely on one study, on one newspaper article. Always look for a body of evidence and look for websites that are independent, so they don't have some kind of agenda behind them, whether it's a commercial agenda, and I'm not having nothing against commercial agendas, but you know, I think it's always best to start there. You know, so you know, university websites, usually government websites, and look for websites that aggregate information. So it's a body of knowledge, because you always want to, especially in nutrition, right, where it's so hard to do good research.
Yeah.
You always want to have resources that look at not just one study, but all the studies out there on a particular topic. So I have to make that recommendation. But I also like a lot of the websites that do some debunking and critique newspapers. So I love the National Health Service's, the NHS Choices. I don't know if you know that.
Oh,
website.
Okay. No, I'll have to look at
that. They do a great job of explaining studies and saying where this study fits in with the rest of the literature. And it's all on health. It's great. I also love Health News Reviews. Do you know that one?
Yes, I do know that. Mm-hmm.
That's a great website, and they critique news coverage, not just about food and not just about, you know, fitness and stuff, but they do all of kind of health, including, you know, pharmaceuticals. But it's fun and it's really readable. And I also think there's some emerging news services like Stat. I don't know if you know Stat News. I think they do a really good job. They got some great journalists. But the other thing I recommend is find someone that you like and that you trust and that, you know, sort of speaks to your values but still checks all those other boxes. Follow them and spread the word.
So I would echo a lot of the things that you said, Tim. I tell people a lot of times, I know you're in Canada and we're in the U.S. I tell people that start maybe with some of your government groups, because they're not trying to sell you anything. The CDC, the FDA, the USDA, they're not trying to sell you things. So they're a good place to start for information. And then, like you said, I would also agree the universities are a good source. I don't know if you have what we have, like the Cooperative Extension Service. Do you have something like that? Do you know what that is?
I don't think so.
They're out of the land-grant universities in the U.S., so they do a lot of work with farming and agriculture, and they really have a strong emphasis on science and research. So they tend to be very even keel about their information, so I like them. I think for, like, debunking, Snopes does a pretty good job. Do you like Snopes? They do a good job. So by the same token, what are some red flags? We have about 2 minutes left. If you're just reading things online or somewhere, what are some red flags that people need to think, wait a minute, like pause, hit the pause button before you believe this? What are some red flags?
Oh, there's so many red flags. 2 minutes can do it. Superfoods, I'm a big skeptic of anything any food that's presented as if it's magical.
I agree.
You know, long term, that never pans out. It's all about, you know, balanced diet. Number two, anything that uses those magical words like detoxing, energizing, all of it's almost always a marker for bunk. Anything that promises to do too much, too, because food can't do that. As you know, food is a complex compound. It's not going to be able to handle, you know, do all these magical things that are often claimed. That's, for me, a big marker. Testimonials, huge marker. I mean, that's often a good indication. And, you know, if they don't use data but use testimonials. And also for me, I don't know if this is fair, but I also don't like websites and promises that focus on aesthetics, you know, that you're going to look good in your bikini,
right.
Guys, you're going to get sexy abs, because we know that that's very, very hard biologically. And also it's the wrong goal. It should really be, I know this sounds not as sexy, but it really should be about finding a lifestyle that you can maintain forever and that you enjoy and that's healthy.
So are you saying, Tim, I just want to clarify that you have no aspirations to look like Tom Brady. I'm just going to put that out there.
Hey, I'm 70% there. You've met me.
It's true. It's not. It wouldn't be that hard for you. So
I need to grow a foot.
Thank you so much, Professor Tim Caulfield, for joining us on the Ingles Information Hour. Remember, you can find Tim as Caulfield Tim on Twitter. Take some of his words to heart about just being a more discerning consumer. Don't take everything with a grain of salt. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thank you, Leah.